Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I want to go to clip 31 here. This is DNI Tulsi Gabbard. This was her leaving last time as one of the last vestiges of the coalition that swept Trump into office that has systematically been eliminated by the Israeli influence that is glommed on to his administration in the ensuing year. Very tragic to see. It looks like RFK Jr. is probably not long for this position anyway. But in the meantime, here's Tulsi Gabbard, former DNI, as she resigned from her position. Let's watch.
Before the COVID pandemic, Dr. Fauci, as head of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, provided millions in U.S. taxpayer dollars to fund dangerous gain-of-function research on bat coronaviruses at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, work which is now widely viewed as the source of the unintentional lab leak that sparked the pandemic. Now, in support of President Trump's maximum transparency mandate, today, on my final day as Director of National Intelligence, I'm releasing never-before-seen communications and documents that expose exactly how Fauci worked with politicized career leadership in the intelligence community to suppress the truth about his actions, the virus's lab leak origins, and his role in directing U.S. funding for this dangerous research that caused immeasurable harm and countless lost lives. Now, these documents expose Fauci's direct role in influencing and manipulating IC assessments on COVID-19 and how Fauci lied to Congress in 2024 when under oath, he denied knowledge of or participation in discussions with intelligence officials about viral research. We also received testimony from multiple intelligence community whistleblowers who reported retaliation for challenging the intelligence community's manipulation of intelligence on the virus's origins, once again revealing a clear pattern of suppressing dissent, silencing critics, and burying the truth. Dr. Fauci's close relationships with the intelligence community enabled him to assume three key roles that shield him from scrutiny. First, Dr. Fauci funded dangerous gain-of-function coronavirus research linked to Big Pharma and their pursuit of universal vaccines worth trillions of dollars. Second, Dr. Fauci was the behind-the-scenes advisor who, alongside his hand-picked so-called experts, pushed the intelligence community to endorse a natural animal origin to hide his dangerous gain-of-function research that he funded using taxpayer dollars, all of this in a deliberate attempt to cover up the truth and shift the blame and attention away from Fauci's own actions. Third, Dr. Fauci became the nation's pandemic pundit, and he publicly pushed lies, disinformation, and censorship using every platform available. Now, according to hundreds of reviewed emails, which are included in this release, the intelligence community almost always incorporated Fauci's recommendations. He promoted a fraudulent paper whose publication he helped prompt as legitimate information for intelligence community consideration. Senior analysts praised Dr. Fauci not as a policymaker, but as what they called an unbiased guide to the real coronavirus experts, while deliberately ignoring experts who might dissent from Fauci's narratives. Now, Fauci didn't stop there. He blatantly lied to Congress under oath during his 2024 testimony to the House Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Pandemic, denying that he ever spoke to any intelligence agency about COVID. Now, the correspondence I'm releasing today directly contradicts his sworn testimony. Now, we received statements from multiple whistleblowers revealing that the intelligence analysts who dared to challenge Dr. Fauci's COVID origin conclusions faced threats of retaliation, marginalization, and many suffered career setbacks.
Well, sounds like he should maybe be in jail. Sounds like he should be in jail right now. But why isn't he in jail? Why do we have to keep reiterating all of the crimes that he committed? So much work goes into this, and it's all funded by you going to thealexjonesstore.com. So this is a fundraiser time right now. We need to be raising funds because we are launching into the next stage of our, you know, rocket trip. We've shed one booster and now the new one's firing up, and we need you to fill our tank and give us the fuel to get to that next level. So please do go to thealexjonesstore.com. There is a mega sale going on right now. You're getting 40% off methylene blue tincture, methylene blue caps, Ultra DNA Revival, Shilajit caps and gummies, up to 35% off methylene red tincture, colostrum, and MK Ultra, and you're getting 30% off all apparel, shirts, hats, hoodies, and everything else. You know, what we sell you at thealexjonesstore.com are just like these amazing naturally occurring vitamins, minerals, supplements, just CMOS and Shilajit. It just is like God's gift to humanity. At some point, humanity discovers it, and get it at thealexjonesstore.com. Welcome back, folks. Stories in New York Post. Spy agency quashed complaint against Fauci for lying to Congress about gain-of-function research. New documents show. These are the documents released by Tulsi Gabbard. Outgoing Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard released a trove of files on Friday detailing Anthony Fauci's role in the COVID-19 pandemic, showing that officials protected him from a whistleblower complaint alleging that he lied to Congress about gain-of-function research after he suggested pangolins were to blame for the outbreak that killed millions. Fauci, the documents show, met with a group of CIA officers on June 4th, 2021, weeks after his fiery May 11th denial to Congress that he risked that he funded risky research into coronaviruses in the same Chinese city where the pandemic began. While briefing the CIA, Fauci keyed in on specifics about the Wuhan Institute of Virology experiments on pangolin samples, according to a summary report. I mean, I just, it's like, yeah, I mean, again, this has been so frustrating. What are we doing? I've been complaining about this the entire time the second Trump administration has been around, where like we keep announcing investigations into things that we've known about for decades. We don't need to investigate this stuff anymore, but we do the investigation, even though everybody knows what's happened, even though all of the evidence of infinite criminality is at our fingertips, available to anybody who looks. We got to do the investigate. We got to launch the actual investigation now. So we all wait patiently and twiddle our thumbs. And finally, the investigation arrives. And hey, sure enough, everything we've been saying the entire time is proven to be true. And absolutely, not only did they start the pandemic in the first place, did they create the virus with gain of function, they covered it up. Fauci was involved in the intelligence agencies in doing this. It all is proven to be absolutely true, and then nothing happens. So are we just going to keep talking about it? I just got to keep talking about this. I just got to keep explaining the same things over and over. And it's like even the video we just watched, like, yes, the information Tulsi Gabbard is laying out is bombshell. But it's also been well known for 5 years at this point. And the way that she phrases it, it doesn't seem to quite have the oomph that it should. This is not complicated. He lied to Congress for the same reason a murderer lies to the police, to get away with it. The lying to Congress, yes, is a crime. Yes, it's incontrovertible that he lied. Yes, they covered it up, and everybody who participated in the cover-up is now guilty of being party to the crime of lying to Congress and covering up the facts of the American people, but it was all in service of the actual crime, which was creating a virus that killed millions of people and shut down the entire world economy and destroyed the lives of millions of people more. This guy's walking around? This guy's just out there eating breakfast somewhere? Like, what the hell are we doing? It's crazy because it's just like, I mean, just throw it on the pile, right? How many things was this country subjected to that we voted for Trump specifically to get justice for? Not just stop. We didn't just want the border shut. We want Alejandro Mayorkas put in prison or possibly executed for treason for opening up our border. We don't just want the pandemic to end. We want all of the people that did that to us punished. We don't need another investigation or another explanation of the rampant criminality that brought about the Russia collusion hoax or the targeting of conservative citizens when they were protesting pro-life places or going to school board meetings or having their lives destroyed and being put in solitary confinement for a year straight because they walked through the Capitol on January 6th. Massive crimes have been committed against the American people, and none of them are being punished. None of them are being brought to justice. None of them. The most we can possibly hope for at this point is for a temporary pause of the abuse. That's what we've gotten with Donald Trump. He has offered us nothing else. Nobody's been arrested. Nobody's even been charged. Nobody suffered consequences for the enormous damage that they have wrought. And this is not something that you have to come up with some sort of novel political theory to explain. Like, you don't need to find a way to correlate this with that. It's like, how about every single crime committed by an illegal immigrant, Alejandro Mayorkas should be charged with? He had no right to open our border. He had no right to break our laws like that. He had no right to subject us to the victimization that we have been affected by. He had no right to do any of that, but he did it. He is the car that brings the murderer to the place where the murder occurs. He is the guy who opened, he is the security guard who left the door open deliberately so that the thieves could get in and rob the museum. He is responsible for their crimes. Joe Biden is responsible for their crimes. Again, like, if you just think about the overwhelming damage that COVID did, the disease itself, the reaction, the lockdowns, the shutdowns, the mental disaster that they've wrought on young people who were kept isolated with a mask on their face for a year. That's not even getting in to the people who lost jobs over this, or the mental pain that the people experienced as their family members were forced to die behind a plexiglass barrier. Not to mention the number of small businesses that went down, the amount of money that it cost us through PPP loans that were completely uncontrolled and stolen by everybody, or the crime of stealing the election that was only facilitated by the mail-in ballots that were justified because of the lockdowns that were a consequence of the virus they created. And then you get into the vaccines. And God only knows how many people that's killed already, or how many people that has killed in a delayed fashion, how many people are suffering as we speak from heart problems, from myocarditis, or whatever else the vaccine gives you that, hey, it didn't kill them right away, but it's going to kill them in 5 years. They're going to live to 45 rather than 80, and it's all the fault of Anthony Fauci. And even if it wasn't on purpose, which I maintain it absolutely was, that this gain-of-function program to create this virus, for the virus to leak out of Wuhan lab exactly when it did, to provide the excuse for mail-in ballots so they could steal the 2020 election. This was all a gigantic scheme. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I don't need to see any more investigation. I don't need to know anything else to know that this should be treated as if it was a deliberate plot, because it almost certainly was. Even if it wasn't, even if it was an accident, the fact that he lied about it proves his complicity. Do we not understand this? That he deliberately prevented our ability to understand the virus and therefore combat the virus. That they were out there filling your mind with fear claiming not to know where it came from, claiming to be struggling to find out what this virus is so that they could bring you the cure that you needed. And they're working their hardest. Meanwhile, they know exactly where it's from. They know exactly what the virus is. They know exactly how little danger it poses to young people. They didn't care. They locked down the schools anyway and called you a terrorist, said you loved the virus and just wanted grandma to die if you opposed them. They knew exactly what they were doing. So what are we doing here? What is this? I think I might need some literature from the founding fathers to explain, you know, what's actually going on here. When in the course of human events, this power structure we live under is so utterly unfit for purpose. It's not just that it fails to achieve justice. The reason it has been impaneled, the reason it was created in the first place, was to establish justice, was to provide a method by which an average person could appeal to an authority and have crimes against them punished appropriately. It's not just that our government fails to do that, fails to uphold its end of the bargain. All it does is destroy us. All it does is cover up for the criminals. All it does is allow the people like Anthony Fauci or Alejandro Mayorkas or Joe Biden or any of these people to commit enormous, incomprehensible crimes against humanity and then skate away scot-free. That is the function of our government now. I don't understand. I don't understand how we are taking this, how we continue to take this. And again, how many times, and I don't want to like undercut the fact that Tulsi Gabbard made this public. I'm sure this was a big risk she was taking in confirming this once again. But we have known this the entire time. So, like, how many times have you seen announcements like this where it's like, yeah, he lied. Like, we know. We have his emails. We have his emails where he's orchestrating the lie, where he's gathering people together to go, hey, guys, we actually did create this virus in a lab. It actually did, but they're not going to trust us if we say that. So we need you to publish an article saying otherwise, lying to the American people. We will uphold that article as the authority. We'll criticize everybody for sharing any information that doesn't comport with our lie. And they're getting away with it. And they're getting away with doing this. I guess I'll just keep reporting on it. I guess I'll just keep telling you about all the ways in which we know they're criminals and that nothing is happening as a consequence of it. Kind of hard to justify absolutely any belief in anything these days. I mean, it's just completely insane. This story sent to me by Brandon Morello yesterday. ICE spent $700 million on 7 warehouses. Now it wants to get rid of them. The idea was meant to supercharge President Trump's mass deportation plan. Immigration and Customs Enforcement would purchase more than a dozen empty warehouses across the United States to massively expand its capacity to detain people deemed to be in the country illegally, which in turn would spike deportations. A year into Mr. Trump's term, it had bought 11 facilities at a cost of $1 billion. But in a major turnabout, the agency is planning to offload 7 warehouses purchased for more than $700 million by either giving them to other federal agencies or selling them outright, according to documents obtained by the New York Times. So we spent $1 billion on warehouses and then never put any illegal immigrants in them. Okay. We spent $1 billion. We bought $100 million warehouses and then just didn't do anything with them. And then just decided, we're not going to do that, actually. Actually, we're not going to deport anybody. Yeah, it's kind of unpopular. People don't like us deporting people. You know, we're kind of afraid of how it's going to affect the midterms. Oh, war with Iran? Absolutely. Let's do that tomorrow. For sure. No need to concern ourselves about the will of the American people when it's something you want, sir. But no, the immigration, the deportations, it's just, it's kind of icky. It's kind of unpopular. People kind of don't like it. So I guess we'll give your country away. I guess we'll just let the hordes of tens of millions of hostile foreigners that were deliberately seeded into our country by an administration that actually hates us and is trying to destroy us. Maybe we should just give them citizenship instead, since deportations are like moderately unpopular with the portion of the population. Our hands are tied. Sorry. If something is moderately unpopular with Democrats, what are we supposed to do? Do it? We're supposed to just ignore that? We're supposed to just go against the opinions of the other party? It's just, this is impossible. War with Iran, hugely unpopular? Huh? Yeah, let's do that. No, absolutely, we'll do that. We'll do it forever. And we'll do it however long it takes and whatever's necessary. Infinite amounts of money available for that. Doesn't matter how unpopular it is. Do you understand what I mean? These excuses don't make any sense because they're not true. There's no reason we can't punish Anthony Fauci. We're just not doing it. There's no reason we can't charge Alejandro Mayorkas with crimes against humanity and treason. We just aren't going to do it. There's no reason why we can't deport 100 million people. We're just not doing it. We're not putting the criminals in prison. We're not correcting the education system so we actually produce intelligent people. We're not making it inconvenient for illegal immigrants to be here by utilizing, you know, the remissions that they send back, the money they send home. We're allowing them to do that, not even taxing it. All of this is a choice. All of this is a choice. So you really got to ask yourself if absolutely everything this government does is in direct opposition to our well-being, to our way of life, to our continuing existence in some cases, if every single time a criminal is exposed at the highest levels, nothing happens, what are we doing? I don't know, man. It just really doesn't make any sense. That's all I can say. Which is why it really, really makes you feel crazy. Makes you feel crazy just knowing how unbelievably simple it would be to solve every single problem in this country. And so really our only barrier to actually like succeeding is identifying who it is that's making these decisions and then getting rid of them. And I know, I've been saying for years, but it's always been true that the vast majority of our problems in America are literally created by our government on purpose, by design, like the actual everyday problems that you're going to have. Like they're the deliberate, they're the designed outcome of the policies being pursued. I don't even think it's like an exaggeration to say that you could solve almost every problem in a month. I honestly don't even think that, which is why it's just unbearable, this persistent inability to do anything for us. Especially as we've been pointing out with the Trump administration the entire time, it would be easy to call this speculation. It'd be easy for me to say, I think we could get a bunch of stuff done if only we had the will, but I have no proof for it. But I do have proof for it. I have proof for incredible, like America is able to do incredible things, unbelievable things. And we do if it benefits Israel. This is why we've been talking about this so much. This is why it is a persistent point of our coverage. It's not that I'm obsessed with Israel. I genuinely don't care about Israel. I wish they didn't exist. But other than that, it's only when they affect us. And it's only when it serves as an example of the ways in which this government can move mountains. Every single problem we deal with is a choice being made by the people in power. Every single one. All of the anti-white crap in universities, they will literally look you in the eye and tell you, what are we supposed to do about that? How? What are you suggesting? What are you suggesting? You think that the government should dictate to colleges what they can and can't cut? We have something called the First Amendment, sir. It's like, well, they don't like Israel. Oh, okay. Well, then, take away their funding. Oh, well, in that case, threaten to shut down their funding unless they, stop doing that. Oh, all of a sudden it works. Oh, all of a sudden it happens. Everything is like this. Everything. It's like we've got to be able to use this fact. We've got to get through to people. What is wrong in your life? What is wrong in your life? You're barely able to put food on the table. The inflation is incredible and unrelenting. Why do you think that is? What's caused the inflation to go up so much? It's all the printing of the money that we did because they forced you to shut down the economy, even though they knew that would be necessary. They knew that shutting down the economy would necessitate a massive influx of fiat money that would cause massive inflation, that would make it more difficult for you to make ends meet. Guess what? They did it anyway. They chose to do it anyway. They did it on the basis of combating a virus they claimed not to know about, but they in fact created in a lab. They claimed it was necessary despite the economic damage that would be done because they just didn't know what the virus was, and better safe than sorry. And sure, the economy might do better if we don't lock down, but then 10,000 million people might die. So I guess we got to shut it down. Knowing the entire time they knew exactly what the virus was. They knew it didn't necessitate shutting down the economy or schools. They did it anyway. Having trouble affording a house? Well, there's 100 million people that shouldn't be here that are competing with you. Can't find a job? Guess why that is? It's not like the Indians arriving here are being brought over on a cloud. It's not like this is a natural phenomenon that we simply have to deal with. Like, well, it's raining, better hold an umbrella. Like, no, you're being sprayed with a hose. Go attack the person that has the hose. Do you understand what I'm saying? Nothing that's wrong with America is natural. It's all created on purpose by our government. All of it. All of it. They opened the border. They shut down the economy. They created the virus in the first place. They took over the media and silenced everybody that spoke out against it. They rigged the election to give us the people that would open the border in the first place. They created the mail-in ballots with absolutely no safety system, no check, no ability to guarantee that the election would actually be valid or the people sending in the ballots would be the right people to send in those ballots. They did this to you. They've done this to all of us, and they just keep doing it. I don't know, man. I don't know how much longer we're going to let them get away with this. But again, it's almost like they had the ability. They could have, with the election of Donald Trump, let us fix some of this. And this is the part that really puts me over the edge, is knowing all of the power they have, knowing all of the things they can do, all of the levers they can pull as the president of the United States or as the Congress of the United States. They can move mountains. They can do whatever they want whenever they want. They can go to war with sovereign nations. But they won't do a damn thing for us. They won't even pretend to. And that's just how it is. So, they're just daring us to do something about it. I think we should.
Here's three big announcements right now. We have the 250th birthday limited edition run of awesome designs for this July 4th, 2026 coming up. And they're now available to ship to you as of today, Monday, June 15th, 2026. And they'll be available only through July. They're limited edition. And then that's it. And they fundraise for the broadcast. But I got to say, I'm very impressed with the designs that Bigley came up with. I was heavily involved in this, in the concepts, like Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition with the rattlesnake and the AR-15, Liberty or Death, 1776 to 2026, That is a really nice shirt. I designed this one. Very simple. America 250 years strong. And these are just very clean, Americana, high-quality fabric, very comfortable. Destroying tyranny since 1776. I did that concept. These are very, very clean. I'm proud of these. I think these are shirts everybody would want to wear. I would certainly want to wear these. America, ride fast, live free. Just a classic Betsy Ross flag. 1776 free. They came up with that. I think that's pretty cool. Defund the deep state. That's pretty cool. I like that really clean one right there. 1776, 250 years of freedom. They designed that. Very clean, very nice. So you want nice, clean, patriotic apparel that, you know, won't get you stabbed by a liberal, but other patriots will know who you are. You can kind of promote liberty and kind of identify who you are. It's fun to wear these shirts, I can tell you that right now. You kind of choose your own adventure. You wear an Alex Jones shirt, then you really got to meet a lot of cool people, but you also might get a bottle smashed over your head. Hundreds and hundreds of great designs from the Gulf of America to you name it. That's a good-looking shirt right there at thealexjonesstore.com. New America's 250th birthday, limited edition, July 4th. Apparel now available. And right now, introductory, they're 30% off all apparel on the site, not just the America 250th birthday limited editions. It's only available for a month and a half. These designs are limited edition. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And we only sell you stuff that really empowers you because we want you to love it and be impressed with it. So we have a relationship with you. And so the only way you miss out is not getting our T3, our bovine colostrum, our ultramethylene red, our Shilajit, our CMOS. They're all amazing. But if you do anything, methylene blue and the water filtration system, when you take this out of the box, I've never seen, I went and checked. It's the highest stainless steel there is. And it turned out it wasn't that much more. I mean, it was somewhat more, another 30% more to have this. But, I mean, it's just standalone. Nobody's got anything even close to this. I congratulations, Bigley. I am very impressed. Very, very impressed. I know a winner when I see it. And this sexy beast is going to help so many people cut out all the garbage out of their water. One of the biggest things you can do to take control of your life. And it's going to fund this operation. So I am literally in love with this. It looks like Marilyn Monroe to me right now. I forget the term when you're attracted to, like, sports cars and objects. I've never been sexually attracted to, like, a sports car, though I thought they're cool. Never been sexually attracted to... I'm actually being a little sarcastic, but I'm not. I'm actually physically attracted to this right now, okay? This is... because I know it's going to help people. I'm being silly. Actually, kind of not. What sexy is it's great. I know a home run when I see it, and I know this is just another big victory. So thank you so much for all you and your support and Bigley knocking it out of the park.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, folks. This is War Room Live. I want to play a video now. It's from Jon Stewart's podcast. It's a really fascinating video. I believe it's clip 54, if I'm not mistaken. And there's a couple interesting points about this. But I'm watching this video, and in the first like minute or two, I'm already thinking, okay, this would make good fodder for the show. It'd make a good chance to explain the reality that these people are missing and their own mindsets that make them blind to the reality that they're missing. And then like halfway through the video, they actually explain what they are talking about, and it makes the whole thing even crazier. So let's go to clip 54 here. We'll pause it and comment as we go along. This is a former Daily Show host, Jon Stewart. I guess he has a weekly podcast now, and he brought on a couple of intellectual academics to discuss how all the regular people are being distrustful of them, and that demands an explanation. Who tricked these people into not trusting the authorities anymore? It's hilarious. Let's watch.
I think about globalization, and what it has done to the sort of the center of the country and the manufacturing base, and you know, working class whites, I would say, are the primary victims of that kind of job loss, right? It's very common in this country to say the policies that were instituted destroyed that the economic prospects for those folks in that part of the country. It led them to deaths of despair. It brought out a lot of different vices and those kinds of things. And we're going to take policy measures to repair that damage. We're going to
let's pause right there. See, he starts off. It's kind of a good start. Where do you think he's going from this? This is one of those interesting things where they will openly acknowledge, like, yeah, globalization, which, again, didn't just happen. The globe didn't just, you know, become interconnected all of a sudden. Policy decisions were made. The NDAA, or not the NDAA, but the trade agreement, North American trade agreement, was passed that drove factories out. Like, they understand. They know perfectly well that these complaints are not frivolous, that they're not inaccurate. That, yes, globalization or the deliberate drive to interconnect all these national economies for various reasons, none of which have to do with the well-being of the people of the country, who the politicians are actually supposed to represent, has destroyed working-class white people, has destroyed the middle class in this country. For no fault of their own, they've seen their jobs, their previously well-paying, stable jobs, be ripped out from their hands, given to other people. And yeah, when your population is abused, when your population is disadvantaged by forces beyond your control, it actually makes perfect sense and is a reasonable and appropriate response to then want other people to take charge who will institute policies that don't destroy your community, your way of life, your prosperity, your job itself. So do you think that he's saying this in order to talk about how right Trump supporters are, talk about how valid the complaints are from the average middle-class white person in America? Or are they going to first admit that the cause of the strife is accurate, admit that the strife is real, that the pain that these people are suffering is valid and accurate, and then somehow try to psychoanalyze it as if you need some sort of ulterior explanation, like somebody tricked these people into being mad about the tangible effects of the policies that have actually made their lives worse? You know, you don't have to wonder. It's Jon Stewart we're talking about here. It's not somebody who's about to give credence and actually genuinely embrace the views of middle America. He's here to express those views and then undercut, undermine, and distract from them. So back to Jon Stewart. He's just laid out how, yes, globalism, the policies pursued by globalists in order to, you know, deliberately destroy our manufacturing base and turn us into a service economy and interconnect, you know, various economies so that we could do manufacturing in China to save them a couple bucks. And sure, it destroys your town. Sure, it drives the business away from America. And sure, it means that the goods that we're getting are of lower quality and that the wealth never actually is dispersed to our community, but in fact, you know, sucked up into corporate combines that invest them elsewhere. But shut up. But you have to take that. But you have to, that's because that's what they wanted to do. And you being mad about that or wanting policies to reverse that, you're an extremist idiot. And, you know, you have to be dealt with. Back to Jon Stewart and the two other idiots.
Various things to try and alleviate the suffering that occurred from the policies that were put in place.
Yes.
Isn't that the exact story of racially exclusionary policies? Why is that in any way a controversial issue?
How is it?
Well,
it's not.
Okay. Good question. I mean, I grew up.
I'm taking this class. I'm doing this.
All right, man. Well, you get an A already.
All right. Done.
But, you know, I grew up in an auto town, Flint, Michigan. I grew up in an automaker family.
Can we pause it real quick? Can we pause it? Because I don't even understand what that question was. He said, globalism destroyed the communities of white people in this country. Globalism robbed America of its prosperous middle-class base. It has tangibly, negatively affected a lot of people. And now they want to elect other people who will pursue other policies that will benefit them and that will help them. And then he says, how is that any different than racial exclusionary policies? What the hell is he talking about? I genuinely don't even understand the question. How does that have anything to do with like racial exclusionary policies? What are you talking about? Genuinely, I don't even understand what question he's asking. And the good news is it never gets answered. They start talking about other stuff that is even more insane and nonsensical. And once again, reinforces that these people are completely out to lunch. They're simultaneously trying to figure out why people don't trust institutions and, you know, organizations or societies like, you know, the academies, you know, the academics as a whole is really what they're focused on, while simultaneously pushing a blood libel against white people as if, again, I'm trying to figure out what he's saying, that like white people being mad that they've had their lives deliberately destroyed by policies that were made to disadvantage them and not wanting those policies to be implemented anymore. I guess that's like being in the KKK is what he's saying. Like, I guess that is basically the same as Jim Crow, I guess, is what is the point he's making. It doesn't make any sense, but that's okay because he basically just starts talking about other stuff now. So, okay, back to the professor here.
Wes, that's where I'm from. So there's no question. Democrats lost that white working class and Republicans gained major portions of it because of globalization, because of loss of jobs, because of sending jobs abroad and on and on and on. No question. But what's also happened in that process is they have taught that white working class and a whole lot of other people to distrust institutions like universities, distrust institutions like great museums, distrust this whole apparatus that Annette and I are just two small parts of, the practice of history.
Okay, all right, let's pause that there. So once again, they acknowledge that the policies of the Democrats that sold out the white working class, made the white working class suffer, caused them problems, and yet for some reason they can't just leave it at that. It can't just be, yeah, the Democrats had policies that destroyed these people's communities, so now they don't support them. No. Then he goes on to say, they were taught to distrust the universities as a result of this. They were taught to distrust institutions. It's like, what do you mean? You just admitted that the distrust was well placed, that they formerly trusted these institutions. Those institutions screwed them over. You just admitted that. You just admitted the policies that were promoted by the universities. Where do you think the concept of globalism came from? From the institutions, from the government itself that was instituted ostensibly to protect these people, to make sure they could continue their lives without their lives being destroyed by the interference of, you know, corporate powers from across the world, failed utterly. I mean, they want you to think it's crazy to just like notice where the attacks are coming from. And they can't give you the human cognition, the freedom of mind to see for yourself, these are the people that institutes the policies that hurt me. I don't like those people anymore. No, you're not a thinking person with your own conscience and your own free will and a soul and an ability to just perceive where attacks are coming from and then to defend against them. You had to be taught. What they're trying to frame this as is that globalization itself just occurs. It just happens, you know? It's like a storm, it's like the sun rising. Nobody controls it. Nobody set policies in place. That they can sort of depersonalize and get distance from and just act like, well, it just happened. It's not like universities were writing, you know, articles about how it should happen. It's not like there was a, you know, philosophical and political underpinning that caused these things to occur. It's not like there were people that wrote bills that were then passed that brought this situation about. It just happened. it just happened, and, you know, nobody's to blame for it. Nobody, you know, intended it for it to happen. And then along came the Republicans, who saw the pain that just occurred, right? They saw somebody who was just suffering because of the weather, and they came along and they said, oh, that suffering you're dealing with, that's actually the people in the universities. And us, you know, stupid MAGA voters, us retarded Americans just believed it. Just went, well, I don't know what to believe. This guy's telling me to be angry. I guess I'll be angry at the universities. I don't understand multisyllable words. It's confusing. I think they're wizards. I don't trust them, you know, because we're all just, you know, retards. We're all just low IQ idiots. We can't understand cause and effect. We couldn't possibly be perfectly correct about where the attacks are coming from, seeing them for what they are and opposing them appropriately. No, it's got to be somebody taught us this. Somebody came along and took advantage of this unfortunate situation that nobody could have seen coming. And we just want to manipulate people into opposing universities because we hate intelligence. We hate smartness. We hate book reading, right? It's like, again, what is this? Again, just like, what is this? You admit that the damage was done. You admit where the damage came from. You admit that the people who are mad at the source of the damage were right about where they put their ire. But at the same time, you cannot give them the respect, the mere consideration of recognizing that they're human beings, that we are human beings who are capable of recognizing and thinking for ourselves that I should oppose the people whose policies destroy my life. You're not conscious. You're not able to think of that yourself. That must have been implanted in your brain by Donald Trump, you idiot. Okay. All right. So we've been taught. We've been taught to distrust universities. Now comes the time when they bring up an example that I don't even get where they're going with this example, but it is a wild one. Perhaps one of the things that our great intellectual leaders, the likes of John Stewart and whoever this person is, you know, they know, they understand, they are enlightened, they are read in, they are the superiors. And anytime that we disagree with them, it's not because we have a valid complaint that they admit is based on the actual reality of the situation. It must be that we're just probably racist. Probably it's just any opposition we have to being enlightened by them, it must be racism. And so in that regard, you know, maybe they just need to lobotomize us or something. I think you'll see what I mean. So far they've admitted that globalism has destroyed the working white middle class, that these policies from the Democratic Party both brought that about and refused to acknowledge the damage that they've done. But now they're going to go into how actually we're wrong to understand where the attack came from, and they're right for, you know, being the intellectuals that led us down this path in the first place. Back to the video.
And we got surprised by that. And this is where the left has to take at least a look in the mirror and realize that for years we were being distrusted and didn't really even know it. And we forgot that only about 47% of Americans ever even go to college, any kind of college. And the slight majority of this country never sets foot on a college campus, even for a football game, because they can't afford it. So, you know, we lost touch in some ways. We made our creation of knowledge obscure in many ways, although many of us for years and years, and Annette was the spearhead of this because of the Sally Hemings case. And that took time to convince Monticello and the country.
It took time to convince Monticello and the country about Sally Hemings. That's the example that he uses. Sally Hemings. I don't know if I can appropriately express to you how insane this truly is. Sally Hemings was never romantically involved in any way, in any form, with Thomas Jefferson. Let me say that again. Thomas Jefferson never had any children with any of his slaves. That has never been proven. That has never even been the subject of serious scientific inquiry. That is a lie. It is a flagrant lie. It is a damaging and hugely popular lie. At this point, if you ask an elementary school kid what they know about Thomas Jefferson, I would bet you $1,000 among the three things they know. They probably aren't going to say, well, he wrote the Declaration of Independence, he founded the University of Virginia, he designed his own house at Monticello. Like, they're not going to say any of that stuff. They're not going to talk about his inventions. They're not going to talk about the genius of his political rhetoric. They're not going to talk about his Louisiana Purchase or Lewis and Clark. They're going to say Thomas Jefferson, that's the guy who raped his slaves. That's the slave rapist. That's the guy who A, owned slaves, and B, raped them. That is the character that our society tells about one of its greatest men in history, Thomas Jefferson. And they're going to tell this, and they're going to spread this. And this guy uses this example as a reason by which, I don't know, like, again, how does this connect to the white working class being destroyed about globalism? This is what I mean. They don't address that concern. They start acting like they're going to address the very real concerns that average middle Americans feel about the way in which their entire economy is being sold out from under them. They'll start off with that. Then it becomes a, well, it's because these stupid people that didn't go to college don't trust us. And it's hard to get them, you know, to understand that we are the dispensers of knowledge. He actually said the knowledge we create, which is incredible. And then as an example of, you know, the poor, benighted, the maligned academic striving away, desperate to expose the truth. The example he uses is Sally Hemings and Thomas Jefferson. A blood libel, a smear, a ridiculous lie that is now the number one thing kids are taught about Thomas Jefferson. If you go to Monticello, like I have, they will tell you this. You're going around looking at Thomas Jefferson's house. You're in his home, and the people who are appointed to oversee his legacy, who are living in his ancestral homeland, serving the position, you know, occupying the position of somebody who's there to foster and manage this man's historical legacy, they will sit there. And like, if you open up a pamphlet from Monticello, half the pamphlet will be about Sally frickin' Hemings, a woman who Thomas Jefferson never slept with. Never happened. There's no proof it ever happened. There's no hint that it ever happened. I'll read you some historical context here. But just understand, this is a creation of the media. This was never academically studied. This was never established beyond a reasonable doubt or beyond an unreasonable doubt or to any sufficient degree whatsoever. Sally Hemings was never romantically involved with Thomas Jefferson. She had none of his children. He did not predate upon her. He did not abuse her. It never happened. And this is the thing that these dumbass boomer liberals are talking about being an example of how they've had to fight to get the truth out there. It is an abject lie. And the people who spread it know it's a lie. The purpose of it is a blood libel. It is an attack on the character of Thomas Jefferson, and by extension, an attack on the documents that he wrote, the nation that he helped found, the ideas, the human rights that he helped to enshrine into law. It's an attack on our freedoms. It's an attack on our history. It's an attack on our people. It's an attack on our academics, because this is one of those sort of tests where they're going to assert it, and you better agree with it, and you better write your papers as if it's true, and you better repeat this lie. And if you don't, they're not going to contend with you factually. They're not going to try to disprove or prove to you that it's the accurate result. This is a sort of fiat assertion that you are commanded to accept, regardless of the utter and complete lack of evidence. there's been a lot of research into this. If you're interested in seeing the Jefferson Hemings controversy utterly eviscerated, might I suggest you go to YouTube and search out a channel called Leather Apron Club. Leather Apron Club has put together a nearly hour-long documentary about this. Leather Apron Club, cannot recommend them enough. They did the work that I never got around to doing. So I've been wanting to do this for a long time. They did it. They disproved the whole thing. But let me just give you a little overview. This is the Scholars Commission on the Jefferson Hemings Controversy. Members of the Scholars Commission on the Jefferson Hemings issue held a press conference to present evidence that contradicts arguments that Thomas Jefferson fathered children with his slave, Sally Hemings. Here's the report. The question of whether Thomas Jefferson fathered one or more children by his slave, Sally Hemings, is an issue about which honorable people can and do disagree. Indeterminate scientific findings in a 1998 DNA study involving one of Sally Hemings' children, Eston, erroneously led to dead certainty of it in the press. An organization called the Thomas Jefferson Heritage Society decided the best way to find the truth about whether Thomas Jefferson fathered any of Sally Hemings' children was to ask a group of 13 very extinguished and diverse group of historians and scientists, white, black, male, and female, to look carefully at all of the evidence and make a public report. What they came out with was called the Report of the Scholars Commission on the Jefferson Hemings Controversy, copyright 2001, recopyright 2011. Most had either held chaired professorships or served as departmental chairs at prominent universities, and several had written highly respected books about Jefferson. They worked independently of the TJHS, that's Thomas Jefferson Historical Society. They served without compensation, and they spent nearly a year examining all of the arguments and all of the evidence regarding paternity. After a careful review of all of the evidence, the commission agreed unanimously that the allegation is by no means proven. And they found it regrettable that public confusion about the 1998 DNA testing and other evidence has misled many people. Quote, we have found most of the arguments used to point suspicion towards Thomas Jefferson to be unpersuasive and factually erroneous. Not a single member of our group, after an investigation lasting roughly 1 year, finds the case against Thomas Jefferson to be highly compelling, and the overwhelming majority of us believe it is very unlikely that he fathered any children by Sally Hemings. In fact, and they pretty much know who it really was. Thomas Jefferson's brother may have had a liaison with her. But I mean, genuinely think about this. They go from talking about how the white working class is stupid for understanding who it is that destroyed their lives. All of a sudden they switch over to why don't they trust the academics? You know how long it took us to convince them Sally Hemings was raped by Thomas Jefferson?
Have the 250th birthday limited edition run of awesome designs for this July 4th, 2026 coming up. And they're now available to ship to you as of today, Monday, June 15th, 2026. And they'll be available only through July. They're limited edition, and then that's it. And they fundraise for the broadcast. But I got to say, I'm very impressed with the designs that Bigley came up with. I was heavily involved in this and the concepts, like Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition with the rattlesnake and the AR-15, Liberty or Death, 1776 to 2026. That is a really nice shirt. I designed this one, very simple. America 250 years strong. And these are just very clean, Americana, high quality fabric, very comfortable. Destroying Tyranny to 1776. I did that concept. These are very, very clean. I'm proud of these. I think these are shirts everybody would want to wear. I would certainly want to wear these. America, ride fast, live free. Just a classic Betsy Ross flag. 1776 free. They came up with that. I think that's pretty cool. Defund the deep state. That's pretty cool. I like that really clean one right there. 1776, 250 years of freedom. They designed that. Very clean. Very nice. So you want nice, clean, patriotic apparel that, you know, won't get you stabbed by a liberal, but other patriots will know who you are. You're going to promote liberty and kind of identify who you are. It's fun to wear these shirts, I can tell you that right now. You kind of choose your own adventure. You wear an Alex Jones shirt, then you're really going to meet a lot of cool people, but you also might get a bottle smashed over your head. So hundreds and hundreds of great designs from the Gulf of America to you name it. That's a good-looking shirt right there at thealexjonesstore.com.
Yeah. days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.